Yes.
First, I was so interested how you met.
Well, he was very pleased that you and Charlie Murphy and I listed about two or three more, and I forget now, but what they were doing. I said, everyone you trained, there had anything to do with. Don't tell me there's not anything in the stud, the old buck sheep, because they live up to it. Atchison, I don't remember Oscar Chapman. I listed a bunch of them. I've always been loyal. I said, you haven't had one Truman man that pissed on the king, not a one. And he was just tickled that pleased him to death. Well, he said, I'd disown him if it did. I said, then second, everything that I've ever needed you on, you've always been there. Well, he said, I will be till I die. He was alert, he was crisp, he was natural, he was just what he always is, and just, I thought, in the best form I ever saw him, but he's just a shell. You put your hand up on his shoulder and you just feel nothing but bones. And he looks like hell, but his mind was a perfect conversation, and I think you'd be glad to have had it tape recorded. It could have been when he was 50. There wasn't one slippage, and it was 65 minutes of it, and it was his Korean experiences, it was his first meeting with Stalin, it was Europe, it was Atchison. He said, by God, he said, some sons of bitches, I guess he's talking about Jimmy Byrne, Secretary of State, said, no goddamn good, but said, when you get a good one, you got to give him back, and said, I just want to tell you, I sat over here and watched this fella rust. Said they took him for 2 days, and they didn't put a glove on him, and when they wound up, they looked like nitpickers, and he looked like a king. And he said, I just found out a long time ago, you just pick a man that's got brains and guts, and if you find out he's got them and you can trust him, said, then just put your goddamn money on his nose and stay there. I just had to figure out he wasn't going to step an inch back, not an inch, and he didn't step an inch with me. And then he just said to me, I'll tell you one thing we're not going to vote for. And Mr. Truman said, I'll tell you one thing we're not going to do. And I didn't let him tell me. I just didn't want to. And I said, well, the vice president is awfully great friend of yours, and he thinks a lot. Well, he said, he is a good man, a great man, but said, if they buy him out, if they'll do over this, I tell you, that 32nd degree is not ever going to take this. But he was stronger than he was. And he was pretty definite, but she'd got me in the kitchen. She said, now, this is a tragic thing that you're not doing it, but I understand just exactly how you feel, and that's just exactly what I've done. That's just what I want him to do, and you just did it right on the same day as he did. But, said, I just won't tell you right now, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, well, they're great people. I wanted to tell you how much I appreciated your invitation to go with you, and I would have done it. I would have canceled everything except myself.
Well,
I had the flu and an awful sore throat. I knew it was thought about the fair to the people around me.
Well, you ought to just stay in bed, Clark. You ought to.
That's much better today. I've got 3 minutes.
You can't talk in an airplane, and you can't talk on the phone when you got one of those things, so you ought to stay off of them. I don't know why, but I've had more trouble with my throat. I've had 6 pneumonias, and that's 2 things you ought to never do.
I'll be careful. 3 quick items. There's an editorial in the New York Times. Read it. It's the first editorial called April in Paris. I have written a letter to you on it because it's brilliant. It isn't important, but it just gives you a little idea of the way they report. They have the quote that they I have to something that I went through the transcript doesn't appear in there at all. So I'm sending it, a letter to you. There in a half hour with the transcript of a very brief press conference that I had when I left the hearing room at the House Armed Services Committee. They gang around you there and they ask questions. I want you to see the transcript and then you won't be able to find Times has me saying. Fact is, they have to ignore the whole thrust of the comment. It had to do with whether or not there was a build-up since March 31st. But in that regard, Dean and I had a long talk together. We felt the best course of action.
I was worried about your statement and about Dean's, too, because it looked to me like you're going different directions. And somebody told me that, I guess Rusk himself, that he didn't say what he said.
He told me yesterday he was miserable, but I wanted you to see that transcript, and when the next time we're together, I want you to point out anything in there if I'd gotten off the line in any way. But I tell you the point, I think we've all got to watch it, is I have said that some week indeterminate period before your March 31st, they began very substantially to increase the flow of men and material from North Vietnam into South Vietnam. That your speech came along on March 31st, and they continued at a very high level, an increased level, and they have continued to do that down to the present day. I have felt that that's the best way. I think it probably is unwise for us to set the date that they increased as of March 31st, because I think that puts a greater burden on you for the restriction in the bombing. And the fact is, the other is the truth. They did start substantially before the 31st in the build-up. And I think we have to keep that going, because time may come even with negotiations when you've got to step up and call some kind of halt to it. But I wanted you to see this brief transcript. It's only about five or six questions and answers, to see if you thought that this was handled correctly.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Here's my feeling, though. I have a little different viewpoint than you, and I may be entirely wrong. I have found that anything that anyone knows in this town is a goldfish bowl. Everybody else knows it. You don't have to have but three copies of the most top secret document affecting our atomic weapons. But what your craft will have on his ass pocket, because as you can observe from your experience here the other day on the reserve call-up, something that is that definite that appears in the New York Times, and nothing but cabinet people are present. The facts that I believe exist, I think they're pouring everything they can in there as fast as they can, particularly since the speech. Now, I think that people are going to know that, and I think I've got to know that, and I think you've got to know that, and I think we've got to recognize that every damn day we're playing with it, that's what's happening. Now, if we recognize it and do nothing about it, that's all right. Maybe we could live with that, but just to be ignorant of it, not know it, not admit it, and the people not to know it, then I just think that almost criminal. Now, here's my intelligence report this morning. A preliminary review of the infiltration activity has revealed an intercept communication suggests the number of troops who were deployed towards South Vietnam in a single month had reached a new high. The data now in hand show 56 infiltration groups detected in rear service messages between 1 and 38. The messages contained reference to number of personnel, 30 of these groups. These had an average strength of 650 men. The figure is well above the average of 560 for the infiltration group between 1 January and 31 March. So they said they put 100 more men in each of the groups. That's all-time high groups. It's applying this strength figure for April to the 56 groups that we have detected. Now, this doesn't say a damn word about those you don't detect at night, which they know are coming. We estimate that about 35,000 enemy troops set out during the past month. This total exceeds the previous record established in March by more than 7,000 men. Based on signal intelligence alone, just what they do get, not what they miss, we estimate more than 80,000 troops have deployed towards South Vietnam in the first 4 months of 68. Now, I'm telling the Fulbrights that you goddamn chuckleheads got to be aware of this while you're saying stop the bombing, quit everything, go to Paris, bullshit around for a few years. I know that's important, and I know the people want to do it, and I think we've got to do it. And all that. But I do think that we've got to be aware of this. Now, to say that they're not increasing it or leave the impression they're not, I think is A, it's inconsistent with the facts, and B, I think it's inconsistent. consistent with what we ought to be doing. We ought to just be as goddamn as alert as we can, Johnny on his toes, and getting that guy everything we haven't gotten him that he needs, including all the help that we can get them. And three, I think we've got to let these doves know that that we have men right there that are about to get run over, or could get run over, damn easy. And I honestly believe if you pulled your bombers down for very long with the situation as it is today, I honestly believe they would get run over. Now, I think when you get those negotiations, the first thing they're going to say, okay, are you going to stop the bombing? And we're going to say, well, we got to, what about advantage? Well, we can't talk about that. No, no, we can't get to that now. That's an ultimatum. Are you going to stop the bombing? And I think they're going to be coming back to us. And when they come back to us, I can just see us meeting here and kind of cringing and saying, well, full right field this way and so on and so forth. And we better try it and see if they won't take advantage of it. And they sons of bitches will take advantage. Just like Truman told me yesterday, he said, there's one thing that I would just say to you if I don't ever know anything else, that I was misled. I thought that sometime their word would be good. I never found it so. He said, that's the first thing. I said, what would you do, Mr. President? He said, I would just keep bombing until they were willing to stop something. Now, I'm not going to follow just what Truman says because I think he's a little far removed from it. But I do think that I can't look at a report like I just read. This is in the Morning Intelligence, and I just said, give me a dozen copies of it. CIA estimate is more than 80,000 troops have moved in the first 4 months. Now, that's 20,000 a month, but 35,000 this month. And this month, we're not getting them at night that are coming. Now, we haven't moved a goddamn thing. We fought around here about 14,000 reserve. So, of course, a lot of these are going to replace the kill, which we've never admit that he killed them. We wouldn't admit it. We didn't believe it. We said he counted wrong, because we don't want to destroy the communist morale. Anyway, I think a good many of them are a replacement, but I can't look, I just got to look at Westmoreland and Geop. Geop gets 80,000 after the battle, Westmoreland gets zero. And I don't know how long we can do that if I'm going to run a football team. I think the day will come when there'll be a reckoning. And then we're going to bring in a bunch of our very dear, sweet boys. And one day, when the same thing happens to us that happened to them yesterday, where we lost, get me that intelligence report this morning. I think it's 24. It was a relatively small number. It was 15. And they lost 796. Now, if that's true, I don't see how they do that every day, but if someday we lose 796 and they lose 15, that's when I'm going to really get scared. But it looks like he's doing right well with what he's got, but I don't know. Maybe that's why they're moving them in. I do think that you and Dean and Johnson, the three of us, have got to, when they say what are they doing, be very careful. I'll tell you very frankly what I'm saying. I say, yes, sir, we are concerned with what they're doing. We are alert to it, we are watching it, and we're going to take whatever action we need to. That's the first question I got yesterday. Did you notice Smitty asking that question?
I don't know.
Now, he came out the day before and said, we understand you've got 33,000 went in this month. What the hell are you going to do about it? Now, he's the UP White House correspondent. But you can't have him saying 33,000 and you saying, well, there's not much change. Rusk saying, well, whatever it was he said, I didn't know what you'd said, I didn't know what Rusk had said, but they told me that there was some question being raised.
That he was Mr. Crowe, but, the three of us are going to have to understand. I've said there has been a very substantial increase, and it has continued at a very high level, but I don't start it with the March 31st meeting. There's where we've all got to talk it out and decide on what the line is.
Well, I wouldn't start it there, but I'd certainly say that it has escalated since then instead of de-escalated.
Right.
Why don't we just take if we can trust them, take page 7 and 8 of the intelligence report of May the 4th that I received at 8:45. And it says infiltration. And it gives the groups and the numbers and et cetera, and it places the estimates. And yesterday's intelligence report cautioned me that there were a good many coming tonight that couldn't count. A good many they missed with communication. But hell, if they count 35,000, Clark, there's no question about whether that's escalating or not.